Welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Today we want to hear how and where you go outside to experience nature, especially right here in New Mexico. Do you regularly visit state or national parks? Are you a hiker, mountain biker, or trail runner? Are you a hunter or fisher? Do you make sure to take your kids out to places closer to home? Maybe the Bosque in Albuquerque or the Valle de Oro in the South Valley to experience a bit of nature with your family? Or maybe you like to get away from town and hike in places like Wheeler Peak near Taos. We want to hear where you go to get outside. Call us and tell us what the outdoors means to you. Our number is 277-5866. Outside of Albuquerque, 877-899-5866. I'm joined in studio today by Michael Casaus, New Mexico Director for the Wilderness Society. Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
Leandra Taylor, she works on a joint program between the Environmental Protection Agency and the Fish and Wildlife Service. She's a Middle Rio Grande Education, Employment, and Environment Ambassador. Glad to have you here today, Leandra.
Thank you for having me.
And also Garrett Vinniclausen, Executive Director of the New Mexico Wildlife Federation. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Garrett, let's start off with you. When did you first make a meaningful connection with nature?
So I kind of come from a family of outdoor people. My grandfather was an outdoorsman, and my father was a real sort of hardcore outdoorsman, as was my mother. And it's a lifestyle for our family. And, as young as I can remember, we were always out fishing and hiking and hunting and camping and skiing. And it was just part of who our family is and was. And so I think it was a real blessing to just, it was just a natural thing for us. And we were always outside. And I think that's changed a lot. And it's kind of sad to see in some of the younger generations. So
sounds like that connection was as much with your family as with the outdoors that you were in.
It really was. It was sort of a cultural value with our family. And it was just handed down to us. And we were really expected to embrace it and be a part of it. And it really is a part of my being and who I am. So,
Michael, you have a bit of a different story. Tell us your experience.
Well, unlike Garrett and most of my colleagues in the conservation movement, I didn't grow up with a family that spent a lot of time outdoors. You know, I grew up in Silver City, and I've been doing conservation work for over a decade. And people often tell me how wonderful it must have been to grow up in Silver City and in the heart of the Gila Wilderness, America's first designated wilderness area, and really how that they often think that experience growing up in Silver City, you know, must have led me to pursue a career in conservation. But you know, as I mentioned, I didn't grow up camping and backpacking and fishing. I was too busy with school and playing soccer and tennis and you know, just hanging out with friends. But it wasn't until my freshman year in college, when I went off to New Mexico State University, that I actually had my first backpacking trip. And ironically enough, that first trip was in the Gila Wilderness. So it's funny how sometimes you have to leave an area in order to truly appreciate what you had all along. But you know, my friends invited me for spring break to do a 4-day backpacking trip. I had never backpacked before. I didn't have any gear. Fortunately, at the time, New Mexico State had a free rental program, so I was able to rent all of my gear. And I'll never forget when we got to the trailhead at TJ Corral, and we started up the trail. We went up about a half a mile. And we got to a ridgeline where my friend who was leading the hike kind of had us all stop and kind of look at the view. And we could see the visitor center down below, and we could see our vehicles. And he said, you know, take a good look. This is the last you're going to see of civilization for the next 4 days. And so we went, and it was an amazing trip. It was a very hard trip, difficult, strenuous. That first trip in the Gila Wilderness really sparked my love for backpacking, and that led to a love for camping and a newfound appreciation for kayaking. So I really thank my friends at the time for providing me with that experience. And since then, I've tried to provide similar experiences to other friends and family members.
We're going to get to some more of that this hour. Who's taking young folks out? And who feels included and not included in the conservation movement? We're definitely going to get to that. Michael Casaus from the and now let's go to Leandra Taylor. What about your experience, Leandra? What's the first time that you were outside in nature that really kind of changed how you see the world and influenced the work you do now?
So I grew up military. My parents were in the Army, and we got out a couple times, but it never was really like definitely, you know, hiking and fishing all the time. But I moved out here in 2014, and I started working with the Fish and Wildlife Service as a wildlife data management intern. And my main project was organizing this whooping crane data, like 61 years worth of data. And during that winter, I got to go down to Aransas National Wildlife Refuge in Texas, and I actually saw a whooping crane for the first time, and it was so amazing to just go on this hike. You know, I'm off by myself, just walking on the refuge, and I see these birds. You know, they went from critically, you know, endangered 16 to 300 plus now, and it was just amazing to be able to see it and really have that connection. So it was an awesome hike, and it was very inspirational for me.
Those are great stories. We want to hear your story, too, if you're listening today. Do you love to spend time in nature but didn't have a chance to do outdoor activities when you were younger, like Michael was saying? Or did you grow up doing outdoor activities with your family, as Garrett mentioned? Is there one particular story, one animal, one place, like Leandra was talking about, that really has changed how you see the world, how you see nature and the outdoors in New Mexico? Join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. That's 277-5866. 877-899-5866. Katie got in touch with us by email, and she said all fourth graders can get a pass for themselves and their families for free admission to the national parks, wildlife refuges, wilderness areas, and historic sites. Go to everykidinapark.gov. Do you have a resource to share with us today? You can also call in and tell us about it, 277-5866. I'd like to go now to Mark calling in. He's from Los Angeles, but it looks like he's driving across the country right now, and he's in New Mexico. Mark, where are you?
Hi, we're on our way to Bandelier National Monument. We're about 5 miles out now.
What inspired you to take this trip across the country?
Well, we had spent a little bit of time traveling with our kids, mostly in Europe and thereabouts, but we decided after taking a look at the globe and the map and some of the beautiful places in our country we hadn't been yet, that it was time to extend their education a bit. So we started off in Red Rock Canyon, and through outside of Las Vegas, drove up to Grand Teton, Yellowstone, and then just started up that annual pass to the national parks. We started just making our way to all these different amazing, beautiful, gorgeous natural regions to give them, I guess, a geological and topographical or topological education about some of the amazing different areas in our country.
That's cool. Mark, have you seen any changes in your kids so far as they've experienced these places?
You know, there's road trips are always interesting. There's a lot of devices. And then there's this moment where we say, okay, devices off, look around. And then usually there's a little bit of oohs and ahs that happen at that point. But then what really kicks in is once we're about, I would say, a half a mile into a hike into one of these national parks, where we're totally immersed, and everyone just gets quiet and is looking in all directions and taking it all in. And I don't know, I'd say not just a transformation in the kids, but, you know, an overall transformation in the whole family as we sort of soak up just these wondrous environments that we've seen in pictures for the images of them, but we don't really appreciate until you're fully immersed in them. And
you're cutting out a little bit there, Mark. That's not great cell service up near Bandelier. So I appreciate you calling in today and sharing your experience with your family. Do you want to call in and join us? The number again is 277-5866 outside of Albuquerque, 877-899-5866. Here's a comment from Glenn in Jemez Springs. He says, Jemez Falls is a beautiful spot. It's 15 miles north of Jemez Springs. There's camping in the area, and you can hike it a couple of miles in. Lots of folks, including kids, go. Do you have a place to recommend where you think folks should take their family, get their kids out in nature? Give us a call. Join the conversation, 277-5866. I'd like to welcome now Paul Mauerman to the show. He's the director of the Sandia Mountain Natural History Center, which is a partnership between the Albuquerque Public Schools and the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Your program works with every fifth grader in APS. It's part of the curriculum. How many students are coming out for the first time and spending some time in nature with you guys?
Well, we actually serve about 15,000 students statewide, but out to our site in Cedar Crest, we have about 10,000 APS students a year, and about probably we've done some surveys and looked at a couple different statistics, and about 75% of those students have never even been to the east side of the Sandias and gone for a hike.
Hmm. How do your instructors provide information that goes beyond what a teacher might just leading a trip outside?
Well, most of our instructors have a background in science and have grown up, like some of your guests, you know, spending time outdoors. So it's not just an academic experience. We're trying to introduce them to nature and through a scientific lens, but trying to get them to see that spending time outdoors doesn't have to be something scary or frightening, that there's a lot to learn and that learning in nature can be fun.
And how is it different than what they might learn in a science class in the classroom?
Well, our main thing that we teach about is ecosystems. And, you know, one of the really hard things in a classroom to teach about is all the interconnectedness within nature. So it's hard in a classroom. It's a very abstract sort of concept. But if they can get out and see how all the different things in an ecosystem are connected, if they can look at, for example, a north-facing slope and how cool and moist it is versus a hot and dry south-facing slope and see those differences and all their... It's a much better experience than in a classroom. It's very hard in a classroom to show those relationships.
And do you see changes in the students in just from one day? Is there some evidence you see that they're really seeing things differently when they come out and work with you guys?
Oh, the biggest thing is really them talking about how much fun they had, how much they want to bring. You know, we're only open very rarely to the public. For example, August 6th, we have an open house if people are looking for a way to get outside. August 6th, you can find out about it on our website if you just Google us. But the students are always asking about, can I bring my parents back? Can I bring the rest of my family out? You know, can we come hike here by ourselves? So it is. That's one of the most gratifying things, is that these students are inspired to go back outside and look for other opportunities to bring your family and friends out.
Paul, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We will put a link up to your organization on our website at KUNM.org.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Do you like to experience a little bit of nature every day, getting out to a river or natural place, or do you plan long trips alone in wilderness areas? We want to hear different perspectives on nature today, what kinds of experiences speak to you, and when has a time outdoors shaped your life or shaped how you see nature? Give us a call at 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. Michael Casaus, I want to ask you about, you know, we're kind of touching here on, there's an issue with getting people outside that maybe they want to, but there's resources, there's transportation, there's all these issues going on. What are you seeing as the barriers that young people are facing, especially maybe young Latinos in New Mexico, to getting outside?
Yeah, well, I think you hit on a couple, you know, access, transportation, just sheer awareness. What we've heard from many people in our communities, especially young people of color, is one, they don't really know much about our public lands, what public lands are, where to go. You know, there was a recent study by the Outdoor Foundation that found that 3/4 of Americans who participate in outdoor activities were white. 1 in 10 are visiting our national. One in ten Hispanics are visiting our national parks. And one of the biggest barriers that the Park Service study found was that, you know, people just don't know a lot about national parks, about how to get there, what they're all about. So I think raising awareness among our young people is going to be critically important if we're going to get more young people into the outdoors. Transportation issues is another key one. You know, a lot of families are busy. Parents are working a couple of jobs. Kids are actually very busy with schoolwork and extracurricular activities. And even if they did want to get into the outdoors, if they wanted to enjoy the foothills of the Sandias or go up into the Santa Fe National Forest outside of Santa Fe, they got to get there. And if there's not public transportation, they got to rely on their parents. If their parents are busy, they're not getting there. So I think we need to address this transit to trails issue, and it's something that the Wilderness Society is working very hard on.
And Leandra, you work with young people as well. Are you seeing the same kinds of barriers to getting outside and experiencing nature?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with Michael that a lot of the not knowing what's available to you and how to get there, and, you know, even when you go to a park that some of them are free, you can get in and just have a great time. But at the same time, we have like Every Kid in the Park Pass and different types of things that people aren't aware of.
And do you think some folks don't, you know, if so many people who are visiting now are white, that maybe people don't see, like, they don't see themselves in that, and there's a bit of changing that perception?
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between being invited and being included. And I definitely think that when you see people that look like you out there doing it, you definitely feel a lot more included, and you feel a lot more inclined to go because you don't feel like you're standing out and, you know, everyone's looking at you instead of the beautiful outside, you know, trees and birds. They're staring at you. But I know how that feels. And it's very much, you know, you want to feel included.
And what are some ways that you think we could do that, more of that, make people feel included?
I definitely think increasing the transportation, like Michael was talking about, and introducing different neighborhoods and, you know, focusing on different areas to bring different types of people. You know, not necessarily just people who can afford it or who can get there. We got to find ways to get other people that don't have access there, too.
If folks want to talk about that, is that something that you've experienced? You want to get outside, but you don't have a way to get there and you're looking for resources? Give us a call and share your experience with us. 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back in just a moment and pick up more of our conversation about inspiring folks to get outside. This is the KUNM Call-In Show.
This week on This American Life, a bunch of us from our staff went to refugee camps all over Greece, and we found people falling in love, kids mad at their parents for dragging them to Europe, women doing their laundry in a baseball stadium locker room, and wild pigs.
Over there, you see, this is a handmade trap.
A trap for the wild pigs.
And what is it, a dumpster?
Yes.
Sunday afternoons at 4 on KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Sarah Gustavus. I'm joined in studio by Michael Kasaus with the Wilderness Society, Leandra Taylor. She is an ambassador for employment, education, and the environment with Middle Rio Grande. She works with the EPA and Fish and Wildlife Service. We also have Garrett Vinniklaus, an executive director of the New Mexico Wildlife Federation. Garrett, we were just talking about these barriers for young folks to get outside. How is your organization working to address some of those issues?
So we have started a campaign called the Disappearing Rio Grande. And what we're trying to do is, the great thing about the Rio Grande is it runs all the way through New Mexico, right? And, you know, our two oldest cultures, our tribal cultures and our Spanish Latino cultures, are watershed-based cultures. And so what we're trying to do is reconnect all of our communities with watersheds and water, and especially the Rio Grande. And so what we're doing is a series of outdoor trips, mainly rafting and boating trips, from southern Colorado all the way to Texas. And we're bringing at-risk kids, we're bringing tribal kids, we're bringing Latino kids, we're bringing urban kids of all sorts on these rafting and fishing trips. And we're also doing fishing activities on the river and on some of its tributaries to reconnect these kids with these old cultures. And, you know, I think it's really important to talk about culture in New Mexico. It is really the core of what we are as a state. And it's so important that our cultural integrity is passed on from one generation to the next. And so, and again, we're hamstrung by our opportunity to, you know, we bring 50 kids, but we want to bring 100 kids. We want to bring 200 kids. We want to bring 500 kids. But it costs a lot of money. And, I just think this is such a simple solution, and I think this should be part of our public schools curriculum because, as one of the other people on the show had talked about, when you take kids out of the classroom and when they're learning these esoteric concepts of biology and chemistry, And you put them in the field, you put them in a pair of waders, and you put them in a stream, suddenly biology and chemistry and things like that become magic. And they become relevant because it's their surroundings that are meaningful to them. And so this should be an initiative that is a public schools initiative. This is where our studies should be taught. This should be part of what we're doing. And I think we should take it very seriously so that our kids are not only reconnected with the outside, but they're reconnected with the cultures and the cultural values that are so much part of the integrity of who we are as a state.
Michael, does that resonate with you, that idea of using culture to connect people to outdoors?
I think so. I think that, as New Mexicans, we have that shared value of wanting to protect our land and water. And the best way to inspire people to protect our land and water is to actually provide them and connect them with the outdoors. So I think the work that the New Mexico Wildlife Federation is doing, I think the work that the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance is doing to provide opportunities for young people and families to experience the outdoors is critically important. And also, I think it's important to recognize that, America is becoming an increasingly urban society. So we're losing that connection to nature. And the Wilderness Society recently launched a new program called Urban to Wild. And the goals of that program are to, as we've been talking about, instill that sense of stewardship and an environmental consciousness in these urban communities. And that particular campaign addresses four what we think are critical challenges that urban communities are facing when seeking a connection to the outdoors. The first is proximity. Many communities around New Mexico and around the country are park poor. They lack those green spaces really close to home. For others, it's awareness. As I mentioned earlier, public land opportunities are not well advertised in urban areas. And for those people that are fortunate to be aware, a lack of transportation. Oftentimes there's high entry fees to get into some of these areas, and also we're experiencing more and more neglected trails that really hinder that equitable access to public lands that we deserve. And lastly, for those who actually have that access, there's current policies and programming that demonstrate a lack of inclusivity. And for example, when we go out, we see these English-only signs. So there's a lot of work the Wilderness Society is doing to address all of these challenges. And I'm really excited to possibly bring Urban to Wild to Albuquerque. It's a program that we piloted in Los Angeles, and it was so successful that we're hoping to bring it to Albuquerque in 2017.
That sounds cool. We've got some folks waiting on the line. They want to share some ideas and add to the conversation. Nick in Santa Fe, thanks for calling in. What would you like to share?
I just wanted to comment on the access issue that has been brought up. And I think it's a great thing to get more people enjoying the outdoors and sort of increase the role of the outdoors in our culture. But I think it's really important to remember that it is a cultural thing and that it has to, include sort of the mentorship of the older generation to the younger generation. And there was a sort of a comment earlier suggesting that maybe the increased access might allow some of these youth to get out there when their parents are busy working or something like that. And it made me concerned that, there might be a bunch of youth, going out into the wilderness without, having a respect for the wilderness instilled in them by their parents or some sort of role model. And that we really can't escape the fact that it does take dedication on the older generation to pass on what we've learned to the younger generation.
That's an interesting point, Nick, and some of these folks we have with us today are exactly the kinds of people taking young folks out there and educating them as they're helping them have that experience outside. Thanks for calling in today. I'd like to go now to Christina in Santa Fe. Christina, what do you want to add to the conversation?
Hi, well, I really appreciate you covering this topic. I'm actually the president of the Albuquerque Wildlife Federation, and just wanted to let folks know about a unique sort of recreational opportunity on the public lands that we organize. So we're an all-volunteer group, and one weekend a month from March to October, we put together a restoration project somewhere on the public land, so we'll partner with the BLM or the Forest Service or the Fish and Wildlife Service. Last weekend, for example, we were up in the Valles Caldera, building some rock structures to address erosion and improve vegetation and wildlife habitat. Next month we'll be up near Cuesta. In September we'll be in the San Mateo Mountains near Magdalena. And it's just a really unique way to get out, spend a weekend in a beautiful place, but also learn deeply about it and learn how to restore it and take care of it. So it's great. They're open to the public. We've had volunteers from toddlers to folks in their 80s. So anyone that's looking for a sort of new way to engage with the outdoors, I encourage you to check out our website and look at our calendar of events there.
Thank you, Christina. Let's go now to Clifton in Albuquerque. Clifton, you have a story to share with us?
Thank you. I like to kayak down the river, and there's been a couple of seasons where I had the opportunity to jump in at Algodones and float down to Corrales on a regular basis, and literally from the spring through the end of the summer, we watched birds fly in. We watched tussling matches between the birds as they were mating. One day we could have sworn we heard a rock thrown in the river, and of course it turned out to be a beaver tail as the male tried to distract us from the mother and her two cubs, and we watched them for the next several weekends. And my point is that this was every day after work. I didn't get off till 6, but we had till about 9 o'clock to do this. It was a beautiful thing. We watched the whole season unfold. And so I encourage people to try to take advantage of what's right out their back door. The Wilderness Alliance is responsible for all kinds of great trail improvements in the eastern foothills. There's an easy way to put on a pair of hiking shoes and get out of the woods. You know, we certainly have ample opportunity, and there is much to be learned.
Clifton, thanks for calling in. If you're tuned in today, this is the KUNM Call-In Show. We want to hear your experience in the outdoors. Do you love kayaking like Clifton? Or are you into camping, hiking, rafting, or mountain biking, maybe hunting or fishing? Or do you dream of getting outside but don't know where to start? We have some great guests today with experience. They might have some ideas for you. Give us a call at 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866. Michael Casas, you mentioned a few minutes ago English-only signs in parks, and that made me think of there's some different messaging. There's groups like Hispanics Enjoying Camping, Hunting in the Outdoors and Latino Outdoors, these national organizations. Are you seeing the messaging change and maybe addressing some of these issues, like putting signs in Spanish or creating programming that really speaks to Latino families?
I think we're making good progress, but there's a long way to go. You know, one of your previous callers was talking about the need for families to take kids into the outdoors, and we're not seeing a lot of families of color in the outdoors. And so one of the reasons is this, you know, English only signs, or they may be concerned when they see a Forest Service ranger in green and mistake them for an immigration officer. I think we're making good progress. You know, the environmental community, the conservation movement, I think it's well known that that we're white and we're getting older. I'm one of the few Latino conservation organizers, directors, not only in New Mexico, in the country. And so I think we need more people of color who are being hired by non-governmental organizations like the Wilderness Society, but also the government agencies. When Leandra was talking earlier about, you know, going to a national park, for example, and seeing all of the employees are Anglo, you don't feel that connection. You don't feel welcome oftentimes. And that's something that we've heard in survey after survey, that people just don't really feel welcome in these spaces. But I think groups like the Hispanic Access Foundation, and also, you know, quite honestly, obviously the Wilderness Society has been doing a lot of great work to engage people of color, not only in getting them into the outdoors, but engaging them in our campaigns. We all can recognize that we're living in a demographically changing America. If the conservation movement doesn't reflect that change in America in the next 10 to 20 years, we really run the risk of not only becoming irrelevant, but actually becoming non-existent. If we don't have people becoming members, then we're not going to survive as an organization. So all of this fits into a bigger piece of the pie. You know, our public lands are being developed at a very rapid scale. We need to protect more and more of those every day. And if we're not engaging this diverse America that we live in now, we're really going to lose our most special places to development.
Garrett, a few minutes ago, you were talking about the program to take young folks from different backgrounds on these rafting trips that you do with the New Mexico Wildlife Federation. Do you think that those young people might see themselves working in the movement later, working on conservation?
I do. It's we have another program called Conservation and Culture in the Classroom. It's a pilot project in public schools. We took a group of Taos kids to the effluent plant on the Rio Pueblo right outside of Taos. And again, you know, we put the kids in waders and we're doing water testing, right? And the light comes on the very first time that you take the kids in the field. And kids were literally saying, I want to become a biologist. I want to become a chemist. I want to become a Forest Service employee because they see the relevance of that and the magic of it and the importance of becoming advocates for the outdoors and their surroundings. So I think it is such an instantaneous moment when you take a child, especially an urban child, a child that has not experienced the outdoors, when you take them outside, there is a palatable magic that you see with every single one of them. And they're reconnected with really who they are. I mean, we have not evolved. We really haven't. We are this creature, this wild creature that has, you know, created this surrounding of contrivance. We're a toy breed, right? But really, and especially you see this in kids, they want to get dirty. They want to get wet. They want to stand around a fire with a stick and poke at the fire. That's who we are. And so it's so cool to watch that magic happen with kids. And it's just such an easy formula. It's just the challenge is to get them there.
Absolutely. I'd like to go now to Sarah in Albuquerque. Sarah, what comment do you want to add to our conversation today about getting outside?
Hi. I just wanted to say that access is a really huge issue that I am not a child and so wouldn't qualify for any such rides. And there's basically no way for people riding the public bus to access any kind of wildlife areas. And also that people who are on disability like myself end up being too preoccupied really to access it either. So not very well organized or said, but just wanted to say access is a really huge issue for many people.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in and sharing that. That's an important point, Sarah. I'd like to go now to Miriam in Hemis Springs. Miriam, what do you want to inform people about today?
I'd like to give a big shout out to all the teachers in all the music teachers in New Mexico from Las Cruces to Farmington and in Albuquerque and Santa Fe who bring their kids to Hummingbird Music Camp. There they get introduced to outdoors and have music. It's a great combination. So hi to all the great music teachers who bring kids outdoors through Hummingbird Music Camp.
That's fun. Thanks, Miriam. You know, Michael, I want to ask you, you know, there's so many barriers. What about, you know, we've kind of briefly touched on the cost of getting outside of transportation, but also there's the equipment you might need to do an activity. Are there resources available where people can rent for low cost or get for free things like that they need for like the trip that you mentioned when we started off the show about you got the equipment from NMSU to go out on that first trip in the Gila?
Yeah, I think equipment and the cost of equipment is a huge barrier for folks. first you have to spark that interest, right? You know, once you have the interest, you got to kind of know what to do, and you got to kind of have the gear to do it. So, you got to learn what to do, and if you can't learn it on your own, you got to have someone to teach you. So, a perfect place for that is your family or your friends, or there's a number of organizations that offer those opportunities. But also the gear, you know, as I mentioned in my personal story earlier, if it wasn't for New Mexico State's free rental equipment program, I probably wouldn't have gone on that first trip, and that probably wouldn't have sparked my interest in backpacking and later led me to a career in conservation. So I think that what folks need to kind of remember, and what I've often reminded myself of, is that after that trip, I came back, I was hooked. I was a college student, you know, I think I was making $3 an hour minimum wage work study. So I didn't have a lot of resources. But what I tried to do was start small. I went to the used camping store, bought some really cheapo backpack and a really heavy tent and sleeping bag and stuff like that. But all that gear lasted for over a decade. So, starting small, there's cheap places to find used gear. And there's oftentimes a lot of people who have kind of leftover gear. So if your friend's taking you out, ask them to borrow their gear. But I know there's a lot of rental programs around. I'm not familiar with the recent programs at our universities, but there are rental there's companies that rent gear and stuff like that. But I don't want lack of knowledge of where to go, how to get there, how to do it, and lack of gear to be a barrier to getting people into the outdoors. And that's why I find value in organizations that kind of put packages together. They do take resources in terms of money, but there's a lot of organizations that have these paid trips. I know the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, I think this weekend or coming up soon, is hosting a rafting trip down the Chama River. You don't need a raft. You don't need the life gear. The personal flotation device. You just kind of show up, you pay your fee, they take you on a wonderful trip, and there's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of organizations who are offering those types of experiences, often at a discounted rate.
Garrett, you want to add something?
Yeah, REI has a pretty good rental program, and their stuff is pretty reasonable. And the New Mexico Game and Fish Department is putting together a program with the New Mexico Youth Conservation Group. They're going to have sort of a mobile trailer full of tents and backpacks and sleeping bags and fishing gear, and are reaching out to the community to create some really great programs to give underprivileged folks an opportunity to use this equipment. So there's some really neat opportunities there. I think that people can take advantage of.
That sounds really cool. We'll get some links up at KUNM.org after the show for people to find that information. We need to go to a break now. We'll be back in just a minute. I want to leave with this comment from Don by email. He said, it's not just the Sandia Mountains in the Albuquerque area. There are areas on the west side. The Bosque is easily accessible and includes diverse wildlife like coyotes and porcupines. What do you want public lands to look like for future generations? Do you think leaders, what do they need to be doing right now to ensure that wilderness areas and public lands are available for kids in the future, for families in the future? Join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. We'll be back in just a minute.
Certain food items cost a little more in Native communities than they would beyond tribal borders. That's according to a new paper by the First Nations Development Institute. Does a couple of extra cents for food here and there add up? How does the cost of food affect Native families? Join us for the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to go to some callers now. Roger in Jemez Pueblo. Roger, what would you like to add to the conversation?
Well, first of all, Sarah, good morning. And I just wanted to underscore the importance of the work that Gary and the New Mexico Wildlife Federation is doing. Making the assumption, I think, that Native and Latino rural youth have total access to outdoors and rivers and just outdoor spaces. But our youth, I think, are susceptible to social media and commercials and malls and Facebook and everything else. So I think that anything that we can all do to encourage our Native and Latino youth to get outdoors and to exercise and to take part in the God's creation is just an amazing thing. And I just wanted to thank Gary for the work he's been doing at the Federation by concentrating and not ignoring that population. You know, there's a number of Native organizations, Wings of America. They do summer camps for running, and they have hundreds, if not thousands, by the time they're done with youth with Native youth. They have hundreds of thousands of Native youth participating in summer programs. So developing those linkages between existing programs and just connecting dots between organizations and the shared affinity in terms of their missions to get youth out, I think is really important. So I just wanted to thank Gary for the work that he's been doing and focusing in on some of the Native and Latino youth. So that was my input.
Great. Thanks for calling today, Roger. We also have Miguel from Taos. Miguel, what do you want to share today?
Hi. I just wanted to share with everyone, you know, this is a great program. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, I've been a person working on Acequia issues. Earlier I heard people talking about the importance of the regional culture, and I've been trying to figure out, you know, how do we get young people involved in the Acequias? And I just wanted to share a really great success story that I hope is going to continue in the future. You know, I was just involved in a project with Taos Soil and Water Conservation District, partnered up with the town of Taos and the Youth Conservation Corps, and we hired 10 high school youth. And over the course of 2 months, we walked 12 Acequias that were that are considered threatened or endangered, you know, that come into the town and been threatened by development. And we had the kids doing GPS points and mapping out these Acequias, and they completed a project where they just presented to the town, to Soil and Water, and on Tuesday they're going to be presenting to the county. And it was just a really great project because we had these students out on the Acequias, you know, and it was hot and there were stickers and things of that nature, but we got to meet the Parciantes, the irrigators, and the Acequia commissioners were able to talk to the youth and generated a lot of enthusiasm and awareness, much more than I've seen in a lot of projects that I've been involved with in the last 20 years. You know, there's a lot of momentum building on this project. So I just wanted to share, you know, even though this was in the urban interface, you know, we found a lot of signs of wildlife. We mapped vegetation, and we're really looking at the riparian areas that the Acequias support within the town and creating the green belt and trying to preserve that. So just wanted to thank everybody who's working with the youth to try and get them outdoors. You know, it was funny because a lot of times people thought that the youth were on their phones, you know, texting or Snapchatting and stuff, but actually they were engaged on an online GIS system and entering data points, so using their mobile devices. So yeah, I thought it was really cool that we found some common ground between the digital world and the natural world to try and conserve some of these, you know, historic and most important irrigation structures here in the Taos Valley. So just wanted to thank everybody and share a little tidbit of hope for those of us who are really working on Acequia conservation.
Yeah, Miguel, that's a great point. Thank you so much for talking about the culture and the connection between digital and the natural world. Appreciate your call today. Now let's go to Tisha. Tisha, what do you want to share? It sounds like you have some resources you'd like folks to hear about.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. This is a great show. I wanted to say thank you to Michael for putting a point in for the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance in the Rio Chama rafting trip we have coming up on August 7th. In addition to outings and fun things like that, we also do volunteer service projects. And one that's coming up later in August is to help increase access and open up an addition to the Sabinoso Wilderness Area in northern New Mexico outside of Las Vegas. So we do encourage volunteers, families, and partner groups to join us in working. We have projects throughout the state from the Gila to Las Cruces area in the Oregon Mountains and northern New Mexico as well.
Great. Thanks, Tisha, for calling in. Jennifer Owen White is also on the line. She's the refuge manager for the Valle de Oro in the South Valley. It's the first urban wildlife refuge in the Southwest. Jennifer, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Jennifer, can you tell me what people would see when they go out to visit the refuge?
So Valle de Oro is a new project. It was just established in 2012, and it's an old dairy farm. It used to be known as Price's Dairy and the Valley Gold Farm, which is where it gets its name, Valle de Oro. And right now it kind of just looks like farm fields. But if you take the time to go out there, you can really see a lot of wildlife. You can see coyotes and prairie dogs and all kinds of birds and insects. And we have access into the bosque and down to the river. And one of the best things about it is if you go out to Valle de Oro now, you can see what it's like and you can be a part of growing and developing the refuge. We really want to encourage everybody to be a part of building this new urban refuge, which, as you said, is the first in the Southwest and also the first in the country being built under this concept of what an urban refuge is. It's about bringing nature to the people, showing people connections to the outdoors in their own backyard.
We've talked a lot today about transportation being an issue that could keep families from getting outside. Is having it as an urban wildlife refuge one of the ways to address that?
Yeah, that's exactly the point of an urban refuge. Valle de Oro itself, where it's located, is in the Mountain View neighborhood in the South Valley. And we talked about the idea of, well, maybe Albuquerque has a lot of parks and open space, but they're not always easily accessible. They're not in every neighborhood. And our Mountain View neighborhood is one of those neighborhoods that has a lot of industry and a lot of industrial development, but also neighborhoods. And people in this neighborhood had no access to green space. The bosque was adjacent to the neighborhood, but there were no bridges to allow access. So having the green space in this neighborhood is a really big boost for the people getting outdoors. And we focus a lot on transportation. We're working with Bernalillo County on a hike and bike trail down 2nd Street, as well as sidewalks down 2nd Street to make it safer for access. Our vision is to have a bus stop at the refuge, and maybe in the future, hoping for a rail runner stop.
That's great. Jennifer, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us today. We've also, KUNM reporters have covered the Valle de Oro and other stories, and we're going to put some links up online so folks can know more about what you're doing.
Great. Thank you so much. Just want to let everybody know we do have our big birthday party for the refuge coming up on Saturday, September 24th. So it's a big celebration party, free for everyone, and we'll have shuttles from buses and from the rail runner stop to the refuge. So it's free, easily accessible, and fun for the whole family outdoors.
Great. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks.
Let's go now to Linda from Albuquerque. Linda, what a resource can you share with folks today?
I belong to the Albuquerque Senior Center's hiking group, and this is a tremendous resource to get seniors into the outdoors. And it costs $13 a year to belong to an Albuquerque Senior Center. There are 7 centers in Albuquerque that offer hiking trips, and we go anywhere within about a 100-mile radius. We do go as far away as Cuba and the San Gregorio Reservoir in the San Pedro Mountains. We go all over the Jemez. We've been on every hiking trail in the Sandias, both the west side and the east side. And it's a tremendous opportunity for seniors to get out. They can do everything from easy hikes to more rigorous hikes that involve some physical fitness and skill. So
that sounds like a great opportunity. Thanks for mentioning that, Linda. We appreciate your call today. I'd like to end with some hope for the future. Seems like there's a lot of resources out there, a lot of programs doing cool things. Leandra Taylor, Middle Rio Grande Education, Employment, and Environment Ambassador with the EPA and Fish and Wildlife Service. What gives you hope for the future, for getting young folks outside?
I think what gives me hope is just seeing how inspired the kids are when we do these programs and we get them outside, and just how involved they want to be. And they're still in that phase of like, anything is possible. I can do this. I can do that. I can still save the world. And just knowing that I'm a part of that and inspiring these students to, you know, get out there and be conservation leaders, that gives me hope. So,
Garrett Vinniclausen, Executive Director of the New Mexico Wildlife Federation, sounds like you've got a lot going on. And so what gives you hope? What keeps driving you in this area?
You know, I just last night, the president gave an interesting speech, and he says that, you know, we shape our future. And if we as a community want to do this, we can and will do this. And so let's do this. Let's get our kids outdoors. Let's start collaborating. Let's start talking to each other. Let's find the money. And I'll put it out there. If anybody listening has a group of kids that wants to do an activity, if you want to go fly fishing, if you want to go rafting, if you want to go hiking or camping, call me up and we'll find the money and we'll put it together and we'll do it. So let's do it. That gives me hope. We can do anything we put our minds to.
Michael Casau is New Mexico director for the Wilderness Society. What about you? What's giving you hope today, making you think that the future is looking bright?
Well, I think having these conversations, public conversations, is important. You know, if we're not talking about it, then we're not developing solutions to solve it. So, you know, I've seen, as Leandra mentioned, the faces of the kids who have visited the Sandia Mountain Natural History Center or who've gone down a rafting trip down the Rio Grande for the first time. And you know, in a certain way, I still have that kind of youthful awe at the wonders of nature and what New Mexico's public lands provide us. So that inspires me, but also the volunteers. A lot of volunteers spend a tremendous amount of time in their communities, not only engaging young people in the outdoors, but getting families in the outdoors. And as Linda mentioned, getting seniors into the outdoors. We all have to solve this issue together. In a time of climate change, one of the most daunting issues affecting the world right now, we oftentimes feel kind of hopeless and, you know, what can we do about it? We're so small. But one of the first steps we can do is actually get into the outdoors, appreciate nature, because when people get involved in organizations like the Wilderness Society, they feel that they are part of a solution. And when you feel like you're part of a solution, then you can take that next step to maybe get involved in bigger issues like climate change. So I'm very hopeful for the future, and I'm very thankful for the organizations who are doing this great work.
Excellent. We're going to take one last call. Elaine in Albuquerque, I hear you have a very brief story to share with us.
Yes. My name is Elaine Murray, and I'm a professional storyteller. I came to Albuquerque 4 years ago because of the outdoors. And I wanted to make educators in particular aware of two resources. One is through the National Storytelling Network, which has a special interest group on Environmental Alliance, called the Environmental Alliance. And it's a way to connect kids through their culture and through story in the classroom and then move them to the outdoors. And also my own personal blog called kidsgetoutdoors.blogspot.com. And both of these would be available online through KUNM.
All right. Thank you, Elaine. That's all the time we have today. Thanks to everyone who shared their experiences and thoughts on the outdoors in New Mexico. The conversation doesn't have to end here. Find KUNM News on Twitter or go to the KUNM Call-In Show page at KUNM.org and share your comments there. We've posted links to organizations and programs mentioned on today's show on the KUNM Call-In Show page. I'm Sarah Gustavus. I'm also the producer of New Mexico in Focus on New Mexico PBS. Ramon Garcia was the engineer today, and Elaine Baumgartel is the executive producer. Next Thursday morning at 8, we'll take a look at New Mexico's struggling economy. What are the strengths in our communities that we can tap to grow our existing businesses while fostering new business creation? Tune in next week for the KUNM Call-In Show Thursday morning at 8 here on 89.9 KUNM, and have a great rest of your day. Hope you can get outside soon.